All lines are now bridged.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks again for joining our ICAD Task Force meeting, especially for those that have taken a break from our OMC Tech Forum to be with us. Quick roll call, and then we'll get started. On the phone, we have Cheryl Turney, Alex Goss, Alexei Snyder, Andy Truscott, Anil Jain, Deb Strickland, Denise Webb, Josh Tversky, Jim Jurgis, Ram Shriram, Rich Landon, and Sasha Termott. Are there any others that have joined that haven't announced? Hearing none, I'm going to turn it over to Alex to get us started.
Why, thank you so very much, Lauren. Can we go to the next slide? All right, so today we're going to do a little bit of recapping now that we've completed roll call. We're glad all of you could join us today. We're going to focus most of our time today on a socialization, some general discussion around the recommendations synthesizing work that Arian Malik and Rich Landon have been going through over the last couple of weeks. That Rich is going to walk us through a document, and we'll take some Q&A, and that will be a nice setup before Cheryl and Michael Witte from ONC start to share the draft working document for the report compilation, and we will have public comment before wrapping up with next steps. Next slide, please. One more. To help us sort of kickstart ourselves, we left off the last meeting with a really fruitful discussion around synthesizing the guiding principles in ideal state. I do a shout out to Anil and Alexis for their synthesizing team lead efforts to bring forward their work in describing the guiding principles in ideal state based upon our prior small group and full task force discussions. They added to that some visioning statements and also some segues into the recommendations area. Through their presentation and we had robust discussion that enabled us to address a few questions that they had, and they've been able to advance that work since our call last week. And so we'll likely see a bit of that in the draft report. Cheryl and Michael are going to start to socialize with us today. That is a critical launch-off point in that we, at the last meeting, also talked a little bit more about our report drafting approach and our timelines. And so we have been continuing to adjust our timelines as the synthesizing effort has been quite a lift in that the body of work that we had undertaken from March through July really was very substantive and in addressing the prior authorizations efforts. And in addition to all the synthesizing teams, we've also been compiling an overview of each one of the presentations that we've received over the last couple of months. If there are no questions, so I'm going to kind of pause, see if there are any questions. I think we can go ahead and go to the next agenda item, which is really for us to talk about the recommendations. So I'm going to invite Rich Landon to jump in here, and I'm going to support Rich, in walking through the document. I'm going to capture notes for him, and I'll also help with, as you raise your hands, to make comments or ask questions. I'm going to help Rich with managing that queue while he facilitates the discussion around the recommendations. So without further ado, Rich, over to you.
Thanks, Alex. The exercise today is going to be similar to what we went through last week, and I hope we get the level of engagement, discussion, and pointers and lessons learned and hints and all that that we got last week. So as background, the starting point for Arian and I drafting, actually it's more Arian than me, drafting the recommendations started from the list of straw recommendations that have been captured on an ongoing basis on the prior task force discussions. And then Arian took first stab. He took those straw recommendations, grouped them, organized them, massaged them, lined them up with the principles, and then started to put pen to paper and have worked down the list of strong recommendations so that today I think we've got 13 recommendations. It's a work in progress. We've got about still maybe 10% more of the strong recommendations that we have not yet incorporated, but Ari and I feel we're well far enough along that you can get a good sense of what the recommendations will look and feel like and what the major content's going to be so that we can get the reaction from the Polk Task Force membership. My role after Ari took first stab was just to do a second look, to look back at the principles, make sure things lined up correctly, went through the language to help improve the flow and the clarity and the citations. And you'll see as we go through the document today, there's still a couple of drafting notes that are in the margins that I left in because this is a work in progress. And there are things that Ari and I still need to look at. There's some things that we're recommending down the road that the editor take a look at as far as standardization and consistency throughout the document as to how we treat words like task force and federal. Are they nits, like are they capital or are they small? And let's do it all the same way. So again, back to the task today is we're just going to walk down through this. We'll take it a pretty much a paragraph at a time, and your reactions will be very valuable. Questions and comments, observations will help inform the next iteration of the draft. Let me pause there, see if there's any comments from our co-chairs or questions from the group.
No hands are raised. I have no comments. Cheryl?
I have no comments. Thank you.
Okay, let's get to it then. On your screen is the introduction to the recommendation section. So if you want to just take time to read through the first paragraph, since I'm assuming that relatively few of the full task force have seen the document in this form.
Because I'm showing the comment boxes, if folks would like me to make this larger, I can do so. Just let me know if it's a little hard to read or if you want me to turn off the comment boxes.
So in the first paragraph, we're setting the stage, the kind of the environment. We talk about the intersection of convergence of the administrative and clinical. And the point we're making is that for burden reduction, efficiency, and overall good sense, that the standards processes in these recommendations be natural byproducts of the workflow. And you'll see in most of the document we refer, we're talking provider side workflow because that's where the patient clinician interaction is, but it also applies equally to the health plan side workflow. And we're, again, for ecosystem context, we're talking about a system that unifies both the clinical workflows and the administrative workflows. Any question about that first paragraph?
No hands raised.
Okay, next we go into the historic, the separation between the clinical and administrative workflows, and because of things developing at different points in time, there's inflexibility when it comes relative to the administrative transactions. Think generically we're referring to those, the HIPAA transactions, although that's been modified by subsequent legislation a couple of times. And then when we think of clinical workflows, we think of the EHR and the work coming out of ONC. So dealing with separate or parallel standards increases burden by making it more difficult for developers and informaticians to create integrated capabilities. The different administrative and clinical standards use different content specifications, different service models, different information models. So this, again, this is a precursor to our link on the modeling work done by ICAD. In addition, we recognize healthcare is moving toward an API world, and the administrative standards were typically designed for batch processing. Again, the core, the fundamentals of the administrative standards, the XFlow claims transaction specifically, you know, they go back to the late 80s, early 90s. So think mainframe, think, you know, 12:01 a.m., you run the batch for the whole day. So things designed in that environment do not necessarily play well in today's environment. Questions on that paragraph?
There was a chat box mentioned that there was a typo at the end of the first paragraph, so I fixed that. But there, Neil now has his hand up.
Yeah, I think this is more of a broader point, and I struggled a little bit when we did the ideal principles or the guiding principles in the ideal state, is how much of it, of what we're writing here, what you guys are writing here, will be done even prior in an introductory area as to why we're tackling this subject versus having it be in the recommendations. And so I think this is all good material. It's just about the placement of it, which we can decide later on.
Yeah, as I mentioned, we are aware that we will need to go back and revisit this after we see how the other sections come into existence and morph via the conversations with the task force. So very good point.
Thanks.
I think right now, Anil, you really speak to one of the main challenges that we're all having is that we haven't been able to get to the broader conversation of intersection. And so we're trying to kind of bundle up one part while we get ready to go to the next part. And I think Michael Witte is going to have some interesting challenges ahead. And I'm glad he's listening to all of this discussion because it will help him in his editing exercise. And Cheryl, I noticed your hand up.
Thank you, Alex. I just had a comment about the word requires in the first sentence of that paragraph. I think it the better said as results in versus requires, and that's a factor of, you know, because of the separation, that's what results. But I don't know if we would want to say it actually requires inflexible, redundant processes.
I agree with that.
Okay.
I also, along those same lines of the sentence, I saw Alexis, or maybe, I'm sorry, it's Denise Webb, thought maybe inflexible and redundant processes. So I incorporated that revision as well.
Okay, good.
No further questions. Hands are raised. Cheryl, right? I don't know if you put your hand back.
You're correct. I'll move my hand down.
No worries.
Next paragraph, and it talks about the different methods of adopting the standards. We don't go into detail here, but essentially most of the administrative standards are promulgated by rulemaking through CMS, what is now the Office of Burden Reduction, whereas the clinical standards are promulgated through the Office of the National Coordinator. There are other programs within the federal government that can promulgate rules that adopt standards and thereby, you know, creates a little bit of a dicey dynamic when you look across the system. I'm thinking specifically some of the prescribing, e-prescribing, and the DME rules. So what we're proposing here, after we give the background, is a new process under the, you know, the federal umbrella that brings all the different standards promulgation rules and regulations together, and we talk about establishing a national floor, but rather than everyone, all the actors being restricted to the floor, there would be built-in flexibility for those who want to exceed that floor and do so without running afoul of regulations. So we talk about the standards version advancement process, and then we compare and contrast the speed of development of the clinical regulations through ONC versus the speed with of development and promulgation on the used to be Division of National Standards, now Office of Burden Reduction on the HIPAA side.
Are there any questions for Rich on this paragraph? Seeing none.
Right, next paragraph. We talk about how standards are tied to various federal and state programs and list a couple of examples. The value-based nature of these programs, creating the business model for standards advancement, and again, back to meaningful use, promoting interoperability, the certified health IT. So that's the introductory overview. Are there concerns with any of the things we've said? Are there important aspects of an overview that we might have not incorporated that anyone thinks might be key?
Alexis?
Yeah, there's really not a lot about patients in here, and we have patient at the center as our top guiding principle, and so it probably should be incorporated as it flows into the recommendations, I would think.
Wow, I'm pleased. That's a good pickup. So if we can note that, we will work that in.
Anil, and then Cheryl.
Okay. How does this, what's being presented here, relate back to the work that was previously done as a group?
I know when Rich made his opening remarks, he sort of couched this as the body of work that we had already done, small working groups, task force discussions with all the launch off points. And so what you are being spared today is the very messy version of them going through all the purple text I had captured during prior discussions, either small group or task force, and they've been crossing them out. And I believe Rich noted that there was still about 10% of that work that needed to be synthesized to round out the recommendation section. So they've gone through that prior body of work. Rich, did I appropriately represent that?
Yeah, the shorter answer is that the concepts here in the introduction were pulled from our discussions all along the the series of meetings.
Gotcha. So if when we read this later on, for example, we should recognize some of the key concepts, like what Alexis brought up around being patient-centric and how those recommendations in that section are synthesized in this in this text.
Yes, and as we get into the specific recommendations, you'll see there are two recommendations that specifically address the incorporation of the patient in the information flows.
Okay. All right. Cool. Thank you.
Cheryl?
Thank you, Alex. The one comment I wanted to make was if we wanted to make a statement relative to pilots, because we have heard a lot about various pilots being worked on by different groups, but again, there's no standards mechanism to link those two. So I don't know if we want to make a statement about that, similar to, just identifying the inability to move a pilot forward to some sort of standard adoption.
Okay, I'm thinking about that. We've got in the recommendations themselves a couple of references to piloting, but it's not in the same sense as I hear you talking about now. So I guess my question is, I agree with you on what we've learned about pilots in, a lot of the presentations the task force has received, we've been given information about various industry pilots. And I think what my primary reaction is, let's make a note as a placeholder, but my question would really be, is this where such a reference to pilots belongs, this being the overarching summary for the recommendations, or would that be more appropriate someplace else in the document? And I don't know the answer to that. So we can find it and then look later, or do you have a feeling on that, Cheryl?
I don't have a feeling on it yet, because I think I need to see all the material together to figure out where it would go. But I do think that I hope we will have some recommendation relative to pilots and the ability or the hope enhanced ability to, have some sort of adoption as a result of pilots more readily available to the industry as a whole.
Okay, yes, we've got at least some of that built into the existing recommendations. I'm not sure all of it. I thought you were going a little bit broader and talking about everything we've learned from why pilots that have been reported to us haven't gone on and actually evolved into effective industry usage. So let's pay attention to that when we get down to the recommendations that talk about the pilots and see if substantially there's enough in there to meet your concern.
All right, thank you.
Alexis?
Yeah, I'm just a little bit confused about the flow and like what it's gonna, where this is gonna work in the draft, because I feel like when the draft went out like a week or so ago, and I started looking at it, all this introductory information and basically talking about the problem states and where the burdens are, et cetera, start off at the draft. And then that section flows into guiding principle development, flows into ideal state. And then I thought we were doing like a lead-in paragraph for like guiding principles. So while all this is wonderful, it just seems like a lot leading up to an actual list of recommendations. And so I feel like a lot of it's going to be redundant to how the draft starts off and maybe then confusing for the reader. Okay, you're telling about the problems again. So just something to think about how it's going to flow. And then, I'll look forward to seeing the recommendations. Hopefully they laid out in like the same order as the guiding principles are, so it flows.
I think that's a great point. From where we are at, a week or two weeks ago when we started drafting that, I think we used this statement as kind of a standalone thing to provide some contextual relationships of, into which the recommendations would fit. But you've got a very valid point. If we've already stated these things elsewhere in the document, then this, at least some of this language would be redundant. So I'm happy to pass the buck on that back to the co-chairs and specifically our honorable editor. and of course to the group as a whole, as we start taking a look at the components, not as standalone, but relative to the drafting that's been completed on each of the sections.
I'm really excited to see all of this come together because I've got very similar observations, Alexis. All right, so I thought Denise was going to make a comment. Maybe she's typing something up, but do we want to go ahead and dive in to the actual recommendations, Rich? Because I'm not seeing any other hands raised.
Okay. So recommendation number one, prioritize administrative efficiency in relevant federal programs. Task Force recommends that ONC work with CMS and other federal agencies, and then there's a listing in parentheses of some of the agencies we know about. And let me mention that this is kind of a boilerplate, phrase when we talk about working with ONC and CMS and other federal agencies. You'll see this in the agencies repeated several times within these recommendations. And so we're talking here about the programs, not the federal agencies as kind of in the role as quasi health plans or health plans more than their other than ONC and CMS as regulators. So again, work with CMS and ONC and other federal agencies to work administrative efficiency objectives into relevant federal payment programs. EDIS, MA and APP, STAR ratings, MIPS, MSSP, promoting operability, and by the way, one of our notes that the editors spell out all these acronyms upon first use. And also then, besides the federal, private payers contracting through TRICARE and FEHD, and that ONC and CMS jointly establish relevant certification criteria associated with the health information technology used to further administrative efficiency. So this is getting back to the who are the health plan sponsors and building it into the federal program requirements that the participating payers need to conform to these recommendations as part of their participation contract for those federal programs.
I made one addition, Rich, that came across the chat box. I'm seeing no hands up, and I'm just going to hopefully not make everybody dizzy because we have a little edit in the third paragraph above. I just wanted to capture before we miss it. Okay, there we go. Thank you.
So in paragraph one, the change was including the federal agencies listed, but not limited to.
Yeah, just so we don't limit our
reactions.
This is Gus. I'm not a lawyer, but there's enough lawyer in me to say that we don't want to presume that we've included all the pertinent agencies. So I like the phrase including but not limited to.
Where would we be without the lawyers and those of us who play one on TV? Thank you.
Just call me Crystal. All right, so next recommendation, because I see no further hands up.
Okay, recommendation two, establish a government-wide common standards advancement process. Task Force recommends that ONC, working in concert with CMS, you see this boilerplate again, not limited to, establish a single consistent process for standards advancement for relevant standards for healthcare interoperability, including transactions, code sets, terminologies and vocabularies, privacy and security used for conducting the business of healthcare, irrespective of whether that business is clinical or administrative. So one federal system for promulgating rules without the artificial separation of administrative rules versus clinical rules. And then we give an opinion that the existing authority granted to the secretary under section 1320 of the U.S. Code should be sufficient for the secretary. We're saying here we don't think legislative action would be required to allow the secretary to consolidate the rulemaking into a single process rather than separating it across multiple divisions within HHS.
Anil's hand has gone up.
Yeah, just to make sure I'm not overreading this a bit. So where would you put clinical trials? Would you put that in under the business of healthcare? And would that be included, for example, the FDA, NIH, CDC? Do you include all of them? I don't have an answer. I'm just asking.
I'm thinking not, because we preface this by saying promulgation of relevant standards
for
interoperability. And I'm thinking that the examples you named are outside of standards for interoperability. And you don't have to agree with me, certainly.
Yeah. Okay. I got to think about that a bit. I'm not sure they would be outside for interoperability, but
so
we can
Rich, do you want me to make a note, or are you going to noodle on it and let us know? Because this is not your last bite at the apple by far. You're going to have apples and cheddar cheese, apple pie, apple crumb. You have lots of bites at the apple to come over the next couple of weeks. I see no further hands up. Shall we go to recommendation three?
And these are really the comments that are we really well appreciate. I mean, we know we're fabulous, wonderful, very intelligent people, but we also recognize we don't know it all. So, you know, the way we word something, we're seeing it one way, but other people with different knowledge and viewpoints can see some of these domino effects. So, yeah, please bring these issues up. All right, recommendation three, converge healthcare standards. Task Group recommends that ONC and then the boilerplate, but this time adding the National Library of Medicine, NLM, and voluntary consensus standards organizations harmonize standards to create a consistent set of standards for code sets, content, and services that are evolved together to address multiple workflows, both clinical and administrative. The harmonized standard should use an underlying data model, again referencing back to the modeling work, that is sufficiently comprehensive to serve both clinical and administrative needs. Task Force recognizes that different standards development organizations may have particular expertise, and the Task Force recommends that ONC, working with those SDOs, establish domains of expertise around common standards. For example, if it is determined that an HL7 fire is a logical choice for initial underlying content model, ONC would logically work with ANSI-X12 and National Council for Prescription Drug Programs to establish authority for the fire domain for the relevant administrative standards, even though the underlying content model is defined by HL7 and not by X12 or NCPDP.
Rich, I took the liberty of updating ANSI to be the Accredited Standards Committee for X12, since it's ANSI accredited, but it's
Okay.
It's not ANSI-X12, it's ASCX12.
I've given that speech many times. How I missed it this time, I have to attribute to old age. Thank you.
You're welcome. Andy Truscott has his hands up.
It does happen from time to time. I just put it in the chat box. Wouldn't we want to work with HL7 themselves?
Who's we? Is that ONC? Yeah. Is that HITAC? Is that us, ICAD?
ONC. ONC. Would we not expect HITAC to... Sorry, would we not expect ONC to work with HL7? Not just with X12 and NCPDP?
Yeah, the scenario, and if the language is not clear, we can work on it. The example says that ONC has decided to adopt HL7's work as the underlying model. So it's a given in that ONC has worked directly with HL7. And so where the example then is going is that ONC then, after it's done this work with HL7 and adopted the HL7 model, ONC would then work with the other SDOs to ensure that they're on board with using the HL7 model. And my screen just went blank.
So I'm drawing a parallel with what we've done in USCDI. If we were to say, I don't like leaving things to chance and hope. If that's what we want to have happen, then we should say, this is what should happen. Otherwise, it feels a bit wishy-washy. I'd love to see the transcription work that one out. Oh, wishy-washy, I got that, that's good.
All right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I'm not quite sure.
Okay, so no. If we determine that HL7.5 is a logical choice for the initial underlying content model, okay, I think it's a we would wish ONC to work with ASCX12, NCPDP, and HL7 to establish that the HL7.5 and how it is deployed is correct.
Okay. Yep. I think that's...
That makes sense.
The language is Alex has transcribed that.
Yeah.
Is clarifying.
Alex did a much better job than the transcription service. I love the fact that fire is so much of what we say, and it still no one's updated the lexicon.
Okay. I see Alexis's hand is up.
I think the way you just wrote it takes care of what I was going to say. I was just going to say, let's stay away from wishing or should, because that's kind of more like the ideal state, and just say what the recommendation is so that we accept kind of language is better. Yeah.
Alexis, thank you for bringing that up, because I got some very specific coaching from ONC about how concrete we need to be and consistent also in our framing of the question. So I believe there was already an approach by Arian and Rich to that effect.
Right. Good.
Okay. And just as a point of order, whenever we say say fire, we should say HL7 fire. Just a minor thing.
Thank you.
Cool.
Duly noted.
I'll go back in my box. Thank you.
Please stay out. Are we good with recommendation 3, Rich?
No, we've got the haven't gone through the last two paragraphs yet.
I thought, okay.
So the intent is for a patient-centric model that would underlie both the clinical workflow and administrative processes. Wherever data are first originated in the interoperable system, they should flow to wherever they are needed without having to be manually recaptured or re-entered. The harmonized clinical and administrative standards should take into account the data privacy and security policies of the system. In other words, the privacy and security has to be in from the ground up. It is important to clarify that Task Force recommendations to harmonize standards does not, emphasis on not, imply that the complete clinical or administrative record should be sent with all administrative transactions, or that legitimate users of the data should have unfettered access to the complete data set, semicolon. The principle of minimum necessary must still apply.
In the queue is Alexis.
Hi, we had a bit of a discussion last week about the collect once and reuse. And in the ideal state, we have a statement about kind of an exception to that, and there should be certain red flagged areas. And we put in an example of height, weight, et cetera. So probably somewhere in here, I need to incorporate that it shouldn't just be a manual recapture and re-enter wherever possible, so that it matches up, because it's even from the very beginning when we talked about guiding principles and ideal states and recommendations, it's always been something we've talked about.
Yeah, I think I recollect that conversation. We talked about data that is not static, and the example of weight is a good one. You know, at what point in time was the weight measured, and how does one make sure one uses the most current or the weight that was current for the communication at hand?
Yeah, it was more not about which most recent, making sure you used most recent. It was literally about making sure that certain pieces don't get reused and actually get updated for safety reasons.
Okay.
Right. So if your most recent visit, they didn't do a height and weight per se, and you're talking about pediatrics, and you're talking about prior authorization for a medication that's, you know, obviously going to be specific to body mass, the dose.
What I'm thinking is we should put a flag in here that refers us back later, and we can use the language that's developed in the other section rather than
right.
repeating it here.
Right.
Or
yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of work to have to go back and forth and make sure that all of the recommendations that we all pulled together as a group, you know, are not only reflected, but then make sure that we may not have even gotten to recommendations as a group that need to be added based on what we all said about guiding principles and ideal state, because we're saying here's the principle, here's what it ideally should be, and we need to make sure that we have a recommendation on how to get there that matches.
Capturing that as a separate thought, Alexis, in addition to the other nuances, which I'm glad you talked about it, because I didn't go to the safety aspect. And I'm glad you came back and clarified, so I captured that. And I see no further comments or hands raised. Rich.
I'm sorry, you said no further hands?
Correct. Sorry. Yes, okay. No further hands.
I heard that there were more. Okay. Recommendation 4, provide a clear roadmap and timeline for harmonized standards. Task Force recommends that ONC working in concert with the aforementioned organizations, establish a clear roadmap and timeline for harmonized standards following the Common Standards Advancement process, including adequate pilot and production usage to raising the national floor.
Anil's hand is raised.
Yeah, this is more of a recommendation. I think recommendation number 3 is the main recommendation. It sounds like recommendation number 4 should be a bullet of it, right? I mean, if we're talking about recommendation 3 asking for the convergence of these different standards and them to be harmonized, wouldn't recommendation 4 require recommendation 3? Or am I?
Not exactly. What recommendation 4 addresses is what I at least, and I think I can say we recognize as a defect in the current HIPAA rule promulgation process that, you know, we laid out in the introductory paragraph, in that the rule promulgation as it currently exists is not timely, it's not reliable, it's not predictable. So what we're stressing here in recommendation 4 is that the rule promulgation process needs to be clear, predictable, reliable, and ONC or the federal process needs to be accountable for getting the rules out the door in a timely manner. So if that's not coming across clearly, maybe we need to look for some language there. Does that address your question?
Well, I'm not sure, because in recommendation number 4, it refers to a harmonized standards. And the harmonized standards was described, at least the way I read it, was described in recommendation number 3. So I guess what I'm asking, and we don't need to figure it out now, but is this recommendation truly a separate recommendation, or is it really trying to provide additional color around recommendation number 3? It may also have additional component to it, but I would think that would be, if we're referring to harmonized standards, that it would be a sub-bullet. But again, my first time seeing it, as Alex mentioned, there'll be opportunities for further reflection and comments. So it just seems a little bit odd to me, but if I'm the only one, then we should move on.
Okay, we'll flag that. We may run up against the same issue in the next recommendation as well. Should it be standalone? Should it be a subset of number 3?
And Rich, I can really feel that because of some of the work that the NCVHS members have been deeply involved in regarding creating predictability, we may have nuanced distinctions that others may not, and that's going to be really important for us to understand for our end state audience. So this, I think this review process is going to produce a number of these nuances, and so I've earmarked it as such and proposing that we move on to recommendation 5 since there are no further hands raised.
Okay, yes, it's definitely an issue that is near and dear to those of us who've been participating in NCVHS. All right, recommendation 5, harmonized code and value sets. Task Force recommends that ONC work with CMS, National Library of Medicine, and relevant value set authorities to harmonize code and value sets to serve clinical and administrative needs. Where specialized code and value sets are needed, they must be mapped to more general underlying code and value sets. So special sets can't be standalone, they have to be mapped to the larger sets. As an example, in order to streamline prior auth workflows, the code and value sets used to include code orderables, procedures, or referrals must be reusable across cleanly mappable crosswalk to the code and value set used to determine administrative authorization of payment for the relevant orderable, procedure, or referral. The task force finds applicable to this harmonization the work of the NCVHS, specifically February 13th letter, that talks about the maintenance and custodianship of terminologies and vocabularies and make some recommendations about adoption processes for updates to those code and value and terminology sets. And the actual NCVHS letter, including its appendices, would be included here as a yet-to-be-numbered appendix in this final report.
I'm not seeing any hands raised.
Recommendation 6, make standards, including code sets, content, and services, open to implement without licensing cost. end user licensing of adopted standards, code sets, and vocabularies is burdensome in order to drive innovation and make standard-based capabilities available to the widest set of actors. Guestware recommends that Converge standards and the included components named in certification programs be available to implementers without licensing costs for developers implementing the named standards. Ideally, such Converge standards would be available via one of the business models that support full and open access to standards. For example, NLM, national licensing of the code sets or standards, development business models, such as those deployed for HL7 Fire, or internet standards that support member prioritization for the advancement of standards, while making resulting standards and implementation guidance available through broad usage licensing. That was a sentence. Alternatively, fair, reasonable, and non-discriminatory licensing may be a requirement for production use or marketing claims of conformance. In other words, like we see for ICD and SNOMED, licensing individual standards or implementation guides can be a real burden, and if there's a way to get those licenses such that individual implementers don't have to do the licensing, that's where we would like to go.
Makes sense.
There are no hands raised.
Okay,
moving
seven.
On.
Develop patient-centered workflows and standards. The task force discussed the critical importance of patient access and involvement in key administrative workflows. Workflows define access to and reimbursement for care, and delays in these workflows are a key source of individual frustration with the healthcare system. Accordingly, quote, patient at the center, unquote, must be a system design philosophy and built in from the ground up. The patient and caregivers must be at the center of administrative workflows, and standards must be developed that involve the patient as a key actor. The task force believes that such, quote, administrative, unquote, information is part of the designated record set, parens, as it is patient-specific information used for decision-making, close parens, semicolon. If there is uncertainty on the inclusion of administrative workflows in the designated record set, the task force recommends ONC work with OCR to clarify the status of administrative workflows under the access provision of HIPAA. So that was a long introduction sentence, but the recommendation is to make sure that there's no designated record set barriers to the patient information inclusion.
If you're ready for questions,
Second part, the task force recommends that ONC work with other federal actors and SDOs to prioritize, develop administrative standards designed for patient access and involvement. Even, quote, workhorse, unquote, administrative standards like eligibility, claims, EOBs, remittances that are traditionally considered provider to payer, business to business, should allow access to the same API frameworks already supporting API access, semicolon, Converge clinical and administrative workflows, including prior auth, should be designed to support API access and patient engagement as a matter of course. As an example, benefits information provided to the provider via, I think that's eligibility transactions, spelling on eligibly. Eligibility transactions should also be available to the patient via APIs. Some may call them the content status of claim/remittance should be available to the patient not only at the end of the process through the current EOB API, but throughout the process of claims and adjudication.
You have two in the queue, starting with Alexis, followed by Emil.
Hi, thanks. It's a lot for me to take in at once, so later on with the draft, I'll probably have more to say about this paragraph when I can really think about each sentence. But off the top of my head, first and second paragraph both should change the word involvement to engagement. when we're talking about being patient-centered, involving someone is not really patient-centered, engaging is. Then in the second paragraph, I think it is, it mentions towards the end, benefit information. As an example, benefits information provided to the provider should be available to the patient. I'm not sure that it's benefit information we're talking about. Patients have all their benefit information from their health plan. It's
what?
Is there someone who can't hear, or can everybody else hear me?
I can hear you, and there's somebody else who's come off mute talking in the background.
Okay.
So keep going, Alexis.
Yeah, I just want to make sure. Whoever that is needs to mute. Anyway, so I was saying that the benefit information, I think, is what we're trying to capture. And I think we also need to use the transparency language a little bit more. But like I was starting to say, benefit information is readily available from your health plan. It's more the not being able to see. There's no transparency about what's happening to the process. And also, we've had a lot of discussion when we're talking about engaging the patient in the process. There's not really a way for the patient to actually be engaged in the process and provide information. And my quick example, again, is I just went through it again this week. Provider tried to do something on their end, didn't get all the information in, then the NPs are doing it, did it incorrectly, I can't see it, the insurance company is rejecting it, I can't see why they're rejecting it, and I'm caught in between both of them, and I have no avenue to fix it.
I'm struggling to follow because sorry, my screen just is popping in and out, going blank.
I guess my overarching comment, too, would be that I'm just a little confused as we go through all the recommendations. Again, we wrote all the recommendations as a group already, and things that were written in the workbook and the straw man recommendation sheets that went out, I'm not seeing a lot of, I'm seeing a lot of it, but I'm seeing a lot of pieces in it that aren't here. And so I'm confused because all the pieces that I'm bringing up and I think things that others have brought up are things that we've already discussed that were in the straw man recommendations. So I feel like we've kind of started to rewrite what we already wrote and left out pieces.
We'll duly capture that, and I think that's the point of going through an exercise like this, and we know that they weren't done when they came today. So anything else, Alexis?
I'm still struggling to understand Alexis' point, because on the one hand, I think she's arguing take out benefit information available via API.
Okay.
And on the other hand, I think she's saying leave it in. So I'm really not.
No. Well, I can try to re-explain it. I don't want to take up too much time. But first of all, I'm not arguing. voicing an opinion. Keep calm and collaborate. In any event, I'm saying that I'm not sure it's clear to use the word benefit information up front when we're talking about what should be readily available to the patient, because benefit information, clear-cut benefit information, you have a copayment that's X, you have coinsurance that's 80-20, 70-30, whatever it be, all of that information is readily transparent to patient, caregiver, to everybody from their health plan. So that's not the piece that we've discussed that isn't transparent. What isn't transparent and isn't available are twofold, what I was saying. One, the ability to see what's happening with the claim from the beginning through the entire process. And two, not having a way to be engaged in that. And you're talking in both paragraphs about engaging the patient in the workflow. But here I'm saying it's talking more about making sure that the patient has their benefit information. We have that.
Okay.
I don't know if that makes it clearer. But again, I'm not saying anything new that wasn't already in the recommendations.
Yeah, it makes it clear. I think my sense of the wording in this example is not so much that the patient doesn't have access to the plan benefits, which of course they do, but an engaged patient monitoring via APIs the back and forth between providers for the status of a particular detail. So is the, what is the provider billing? What is the health plan saying that's covered or not covered, just including that patient in the information flow? So it's a level of detail that is transaction specific, not something that I see as being available and applicable by the patient coming out of the, you know, the benefit handbook.
Well, I disagree. I mean, the benefit information is available. What's covered, what's not covered. Maybe we can put something that says it needs to be more transparent. It's there. Maybe not every health plan makes it available in a way that's easy to find. I believe most do, though. It's more so the other information. You can see a rejection when it's done. You can see an approval maybe 10 days later when it comes snail mail. Sometimes you can see a little bit more information about an EOB when something doesn't get covered or what your portion is that you have to pay that didn't get covered, but you can't see why the piece that should have been covered didn't get covered. It's those pieces.
Okay. Yep, I got it now. So we can go back and take a look at that again, see if we can make it a little bit more tightly focused on the transparency.
I've made some of those comments, and while we were talking, Emil has raised his hand.
Yeah, so just a real quick comment, and it may not it may not warrant a lot of discussion, but I assume that Rich, that these recommendations have not been yet sequenced. Is that right?
They have been roughly sequenced, but not in stone. They've been grouped logically according to what we have, but not relative to a final product, and certainly not relative to the flow of the rest of the document outside of the recommendation section.
Okay, in that case, I would recommend that we would move the recommendations around the patient and being patient-centric closer to the top, just so that we all remember why we're doing this. And then subsequent recommend how to support that.
So noted, not disagreed. We have, Arian and I did play with some sequencing, and that was one of the things in an earlier sequence that we opted not to do based on our own assessment of prioritization. But I agree with you that patient at the center is such a cornerstone of this task force that we need to take a look at that again in one of the next iterations.
Great, thanks.
Okay. Making a note. Alexis?
Yeah, just real quickly, based on what Anil was saying and what I was hearing from Rich, I mean, I think that in general, it needs to be sequenced with the way we already are sequencing. And if that gets changed, then recommendation sequencing should get changed to match to the guiding principles, or it just doesn't flow as a document when we say this is, you know, this is guiding principle 1 through 9 or 1 through 8. The recommendation should be laid out the same way. This is guiding principle 1. Here's the recommendations. This is guiding principle 2. Here's a recommendation. So it's just, it doesn't make sense for a flow piece, whether we're talking about patient at the center or any other principle, but patient at the center happens to be number 1 in the way that the guiding principles have been sequenced.
I think this is something we can definitely make a note of and talk to our editor about, because I think that you're right. We have to think about that end state reader and the diverse, you know, that they're getting a whole story that they can actually track with. I also think that we probably can't get too far down that pike until we actually have some of the broader conversation, because I believe philosophically we have had some discussions around not having separate portions, like talk about the intersection of clinical administrative, then go to prior authorization or vice versa, but more to have it more as a sort of an hourglass, using the prior authorization as that exemplar. And so we will certainly have an opportunity to weigh in on that as we move forward. We are in recommendation 8. I would love to give Rich the chance to get through the last couple before we pivot. We do have to go to public comment at 4:20, but if we can, I would love to give Cheryl and Michael a chance to showcase some of the report Google Doc work that we've been doing. So there are no further hands raised. Rich, if we could go to recommendation, that would be great.
Okay, and the screen just bumped, Alex.
I don't know what happened. Oh, it's
okay,
back now.
Recommendation 8, simple. We're recommending the international standard for an ID card or a virtual equivalent of what's called for in the standard. Questions or comments on that?
Seeing no hands raised.
Recommendation 9, we're calling for promulgation of an attachment standard, and we are specifically recommending ANSI ASC X12, the 275 transaction version 5010 standard, because that is in the, and specifically we're recommending that for the short term, not the long term. But that's the standard that has the standard that is designed to work with the prior auth and has not yet been promulgated by CMS.
It's also the expectation that that's the transport method, not necessarily the payload aspect.
Exactly.
There can be different aspects there. Okay. I suspect that we may have folks who want to weigh in on that recommendation, and before that train leaves the station, I'm going to suggest you move to recommendation 10.
Okay. Encourage regular review of prior authorization rules. In short, we're again calling the federal programs so that their contracted plan administrators or your payers update their rules regularly, at least once a year. And Task Force recommends ONC work with CMS to encourage transparency in the prioritization process via published metrics on authorization and denial rates, rates of appeal, and metrics on appeal. So annual updates, clear, simple, and if there's a requirement that the data shows is never denied or seldom denied, then the bias would be to eliminate that requirement from prior auth.
I'm seeing no hands raised.
Okay, recommendation
11. Wait, pause. I apologize. Just as I said that, and Neil put his hand up.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's a delayed reaction on my part. why encourage establish?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Why does it say encourage regular review instead of saying establish regular review? Why can we only encourage and not require it? In the
it's
recommendation title. As well as in the title, yeah.
Yeah, good pickup.
Yep, thank you. Duly noted. No other hands are up.
All right. 11, establish standards for prior auth workflows. Work with federal actors and SDOs to develop API specifications to create an authorization, electronic prior auth related determination, such as certificate of medical necessity, such that authorization related documentation can be triggered in workflow in the relevant workflow system, e.g. EHR, where the triggering event for the authorization is created. In this example, when an authorization is required for payment for procedure or referral for evaluation of treatment, prior auth workflow should be enabled in the relevant ordering and referral clinical workflow. Task Force recommends ONC work with CMS and other federal actors overseeing benefit plans to provide or incent mechanisms to provide or incent electronic prior authorizations. Task Force recommends these standards include sufficient guidance on operating rules, including service level objectives on latency and availability sufficient for prior auth to be incorporated in interactive workflows. Task Force recommends that standards and implementation guidance specify requirements on denials, such that denials are accompanied by clear, complete, and computable reason for denial, such that actors can correct, if relevant, applicable causes for denial. Standards and implementation guidance should require any denial to address all deficiencies in the request, i.e., must evaluate the entire request and not simply issue a denial citing only the first in a potentially longer sequence of identifiable deficiencies.
So is this really one, this one main recommendations with several sub-recommendations, or do you feel like these are really, these could stand on their own? Because one of the things we want to do is be highly discreet in our recommendations, or highly specific.
Yeah, these are all components of a prior auth workflow. So that's the unifying factor here. Good point. We may want to relook at this and maybe do an introductory sentence and then have each of the recommendations as a bullet.
Okay. I'm not seeing any other hands up.
All right. 12 simply calls.
Oh, wait. I apologize. Why did I say it? Alexis raised her hand.
Yep, sorry, it's just that the time to click off the enlarged screen and get to the reason at hand. I was just going to say, I think maybe we should just further add, we had discussion before about, oh my gosh, I just lost my train of thought. We're talking about unenlarging the screen. Oh my gosh, I'll type it in the chat box. I got to think again.
Okay.
12.
And so I'm going to, yep, thank you. Your last two.
12, create renewal mechanism for authorizations. Recommends ONC work with the usual cast of characters to develop programmatic API specifications to renew an authorization where prior auth applies to services of long duration. So recommend that this be done so that authorizations can be renewed through these means without requiring a new authorization, and that such renewals in the status of existing authorization be enabled by a standards-based APIs.
Why don't you go read out number 13, because we need to pivot in just a few moments to our public comment.
Okay.
And then no hands raised.
Include patient and prior auth. Recommends that ONC work with the usual cast of characters so the prior auth system be designed to interact with the patient or designee such that the patient receives notification and status of key activities and has the ability to view content associated with the prior auth, parens for informed decision-making and correction, close parens, and provide patient-generated information into the prior authorization process, parens, for example, the ability to point out errors and to respond to such questions, if any, which only the patient, herself, himself, can answer, close parens.
Okay, I'm not seeing any hands raised. Alexis did type in her comment about discussing recommendations for a chance to address missing info and correct the PA before the denial that needs to be appealed. And I think that was back on number 11. And I will just make a note.
Yeah, it goes like down towards the end where it says like making sure that you're being told what's missing and why it was denied. But we had a conversation about having a chance for the provider to fix what's missing before getting a denial.
Good pickup. Thank you.
I have captured that, and I believe I'm going to stop sharing at this point so that we can go to public comment. Once we launch that, then we'll I'm turning it over at this point, I believe, to Cheryl and Michael after Lauren walks us through the public comment.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alex. Operator, can we open the line, please?
Sure. If you would like to make a public comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your comment from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. Once again, that's star 1 for a comment at this time. One moment while we poll for comments.
Any comments?
No comments at this moment.
Thank you. All right, well, we can leave this slide up. I think, Alex, we can talk a little bit about the next steps for the recommendations, and then I'll have them pull up the draft paper, because the next step for the recommendations is for the comments that were made today to be incorporated into the final draft, and then that those revised recommendations will be inserted into the draft paper, which we'll look at in the future. Hopefully start doing that as we move forward with our next meeting. And there is actually a lot of synthesizing of the material that's been taking place as a result of this small group effort, all of the writers that have volunteered to put their time and efforts into all of this work, which we really appreciate. I'm just going to take a pause here to see if we have had anyone indicate that they'd like to make a comment from the public.
No public comments at this time.
Okay, great. Michael, do you want to share the Google Doc? Because I can't. I have to get on my personal computer to see it. So just to restate for this team, there has been a lot of work going on in the background to pull this paper together. And also we will be working on a presentation deck, which Alex has reviewed the idea of that with this team already as well. But I just wanted to make sure that you're aware that what happens when we're synthesizing the information is that it might change slightly from how it was originally presented, because as Alexis and others have commented, once you look at the flow of the information, you may have to edit it in order for the document, which has been written by many people, now brought together, actually works together as a document. So, Michael, did you want to review the Google Doc?
Sure. Can everybody see my screen?
Yes, we can see now.
Okay, great. Yeah, just for in that way, in that effect, the you know, the editor, who is right now me, will shamelessly steal, adapt, and move content around as things develop. So you'll see a lot of stuff here, like in this first paragraph is very much background that is going to appear elsewhere in other people's write-up as well. And as more write-ups come in, we will hopefully pare that all down and put it all in a reasonable, you know, say it once and not repeat it with things we don't need to repeat. So what I did was I just sort of took a lot of this stuff that Cheryl produced, came up with a while ago from the original draft. I started with, this is context. Not married to deordering here, obviously. And then sort of a section that defines, and I think this is a lot of this text, this stuff I wrote that's going to be replaced by what we saw a minute ago, which I think is much better from you all. And you'll see my little notes in the document. I don't know if you want me to read this or if you just want to see the structure.
I think let's just focus on the structure since we only have a few minutes, Michael.
Sure. So speaking through a little bit of the background and then moving into what was really going to be sort of describing our approach and the history of how we came to comprise the task force, and then introduce the concept of, so the task force had this vision and this charge, and the first thing was, okay, let's look at this exemplar that is prior authorization. It's sort of a poster child to demonstrate the necessity of alignment. And then we'll move into an examination of prior auth, where we'll describe all of that material. And again, a lot of this is copy and pasted from other places and still needs to be edited because we haven't done that yet. And then move into describing how we came up with the data classes concept, and the roles of stakeholders content, which folks wrote, is really great. And then now analyzing the standards and what's available, and then moving in again, there's the adoption analysis that we saw that folks, that the data group did. And then we move into the findings on the standards. So again, there's, this is probably not the order we want things in right now, but there were recommendations based on the standards. And then we move into the content from the guiding principles group, which really describe each of the guiding principles and woven in the current structure from the guiding principles group is we start with the description of the guiding principles. And then we take, and this rubric repeats, in order to support this principle, the ideal state must include characteristics that go through each of those. So each of our guiding principles has comment. And again, there are questions here from Anil and Alexis, who are the authors, that I've moved over into the Google Doc framework. We move through these. And then I think then we'll put in recommendations to achieve the prior authorization ideal state. And then there will be some bridge material, and we'll move to discussing the broadening concepts that are not yet really flushed out, whether that's expanded guiding principles, expanded ideal state, final recommendations, a conclusion. And then we expect, of course, that all this, the other material that we have, the compendium and the summary of presentations, and then maybe a crosswalk of the recommendations that we heard in the presentations, the ones we end up making as appendices there. Again, this is not in an ideal order yet. I think we're going to see all the pieces as they come together. And the plan will be to thread a story that goes from statement of a problem, which is that there is this disconnect, which causes burden, that this task force came together to examine that. The task force picked a prime example, which is prior authorization, and considered the guiding principles of ideal state and possible solutions to improve that condition, the conditions of prior authorization. And that consideration led to a broadening of thinking of the greater integration of administrative and clinical data. And that broadening broadens the recommendations. And those are what will come in the end of this, and there will be a conclusion and a wrap-up.
Thank you so much for that overview, Michael. I know we had to go through it fairly quickly, but we wanted to expose this overall group to it because after today's meeting, we are going to be including the recommendations into this final paper, and we are going to be releasing to you the Google Doc so that you could all go in and review the materials at your leisure outside of this meeting and then make any comments. What we're going to ask you, though, and we'll send this out with the instructions, is that you make your comments in a comment box, and then we will bring it back to this group, review all those comments, and then process the changes together as a group so that everybody is understanding of who made what change. Otherwise, it can get a little bit unwieldy. So some of the comments that have already come up today in terms of, you know, the way the recommendations were originally laid out, which really were kind of grouped together with each of the ideal states and guiding principles, some of the recommendations may cross some of those, so which may be one reason why they don't maybe as easily align. But we can discuss all of that relative to how it's organized once people are able to see the overall paper. And then we can certainly prioritize the recommendations and the placement of the copy, you know, based on what makes the most sense. The other thing we will be creating is a presentation deck from this document, and that's probably a couple weeks off, but certainly by the beginning of September, we're going to be looking at that as well. We do have another meeting next week, which is at the same time, 3 o'clock Eastern time. And we will be picking up from where we left off right now, talking about the broader intersection and also continuing to have the report writers and the commenters offline. So I want to really thank everyone for all of their hard work in between these meetings. It's really been a Herculean effort, and especially some of the Excel and ONC staff who've been participating, putting the compendium together. They've done summaries of all of the presenters who came to our group. We've had individuals who have helped support defining gaps. The way we're going to use those gaps is actually look at all the recommendations, all the ideal state and the guiding principles to make sure, as even Alexis pointed out, there's nothing missing. And so you won't see gaps listed by itself in the document. We're actually going to use that to make sure that everything that we've identified in that gap document is included. Also, we've looked at all the recommendations that were made by the third parties that came to us, and we'll be using that list of recommendations to ensure that our recommendation list either addresses those recommendations that third parties made, or we deem that that recommendation wouldn't be something we would want to support, but we'll discuss that also as a group. Any questions on how we're going to go forward?
And I'll just jump, sorry, this is Michael, real quickly. Again, comments on the structure and placement items within the document are also welcome. Again, just
yes,
as comments, welcome to me. Cause
absolutely, and it will get difficult if people start moving things around. So please just either put your comments in an email or add them to a comment box in the Google document itself, just so we can keep track of, you know, where everything's going. So your guys, what we show you is going to be consistent, and we can sort of keep track of how those changes were made. And Alex, did you want to add anything before we close for today? And can we put up the slides this week?
It all sounds good, Cheryl.
All right. So just a reminder that's on this slide, September 9th is when we're due to have our presentation to ONC, and at this point, we are expecting that this work group is probably going to continue at least through the high-tech meeting in October. And so, you know, just want to, you know, make sure everybody is planning appropriately. All right. Any comments or questions before we close?
Thank you for sticking around a few extra minutes, folks.
Yes. I agree. Thank you so much. All right. I think we can go ahead and adjourn the meeting. And thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week. Same time, same channel.
Thanks, everyone.
All right. Thanks,
everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Good job today, Rich.